Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus.
Good morning. Want to welcome you to the Boones Mill Church of the Brethren this morning as we celebrate on this Independence Day, 4th of July celebration. We're glad that all of you have come out. It's good to look over the congregation and see you this morning, and we want to welcome you. There are people still out in the automobiles as they're listening on air to the service, and we want to welcome them this morning. And if there's anyone in the Sunday school rooms that's been set aside for special needs, we want to welcome you too. We're just glad that you're here, and just want to say welcome to everyone that is here. Today's message is part two, and it's the prayer of connection. What we're doing, we're going through the Lord's Prayer, and we're taking each phrase in that prayer, and each one of those addresses an issue that we have that causes stress in our life and causes problems. So as we go over those, we're going to be looking at how can that study and how can that these messages help us to face the stresses that we have in life. And today, the prayer of connection, part two of our series of connecting with God. One of the reasons that I cherish the opportunity of going to annual conference is because it allows me to experience and see the Church of the Brethren on a global stage. We are the church not only here in Boone's Mill, but we are the church in the United States. We are the church in Africa. We're the Church of the Brethren in India and in Europe and in South America and in so many other places of the world. And actually, did you know that the Church of the Brethren in Africa is now, we have more members there than we do here in the United States. It is growing exponentially because of the message the Church of the Brethren has always preached. Peace. They're in a time of terrible war and violence, and yet the church speaks to the people about peace and about the love of God and loving one another. And so that message resonates really strong with them. There were people in my table talk group that was disappointed in the Church of the Brethren today, that they're not very evangelistic anymore, that they seem complacent with what they have as far as a country and as a church, and they don't seem to be excited about Jesus and sharing that with others. But we find that our church is truly alive in all parts of the world, and it's exciting to sit around the table and to talk with and to hear stories from our brothers and sisters about the church in their part of the world. God is doing some mighty things in the Church of the Brethren, and I thank God for that. However, at annual conference, we also hear about the challenges and the global issues that our church and our brothers and sisters face in the world. The number one struggle is hunger and lack of access of clean water, which we take for granted. One in every nine people in the world goes hungry every day. I often tell Vonda, I said, gee, I'm starving. Oh, what a sinful thing to say. I don't even know what the word means. I can't imagine someone going to bed tonight that hasn't had a thing to eat today. But it happens. One out of every nine people in the world. And because of that, not only is there hunger, there is nutritional deficiencies. And here's the second struggle in pot. It's poverty. More than 70% of the people in the world, 70% of the people in the world own less than $10,000. That's roughly 3% of the total wealth in the world. Can you imagine that? That 97% of the wealth is in the hands of 30% of the people in the world? A third struggle is health care. Low-income countries lack medicine and adequate facilities to treat the sick when they get sick. And with the COVID-19 pandemic this past year, there is no vaccines available for major populations of the world, which we take for granted here. And even we have opportunities in. Our fourth struggle is religious conflict and war and mass shootings. Terrorism and the rise of religiously motivated insurgent groups have made even going to the supermarket dangerous. All I'm saying is there are so many struggles that we and our brothers, sisters in the world face. And when you go to annual conference, you see this up close and you hear the stories from the people that are facing them. But at annual conference as a global church, we're not only there to hear stories, we're there to study the Bible and to study it together and to find out how can we help people in need? How can we address some of these problems we face? Now, one such passage in the Bible is 2 Chronicles 15, and it talks about a struggle that God's people were going through. And it says this, it said, during those dark times, it was not even safe to travel, the Bible says, because problems troubled the nation on every hand. Doesn't that sound like us some today? At least if not here in our area, at least in the world. Yes, we've got social problems and we've got cultural problems and we've got spiritual problems. We have problems troubling the world on every hand. But even in the darkest of times, when things are so hard, God always gives a voice of hope. And in this particular time that was the people of Israel were going through in 2 Chronicles 15, God brought a preacher named God brought a preacher. Just accept that. Azariah. And Azariah had these words of hope to say to the nation. He said this, listen, all you people, the Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with the Lord. And if you seek him, you will find him. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God and without God's law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord and they sought him and he was found by them. Now that phrases our hope this morning. In their distress, they turned to the Lord and he was found. That's my prayer. That in my distress, when I'm going through difficult times, when I'm going through trouble, I will turn to the Lord. And that's my prayer for you. That when you are having difficulty and you're going through stressful times, that you will turn to the Lord. And that's my prayer for the church and for our country and our world. That during tough times, we will turn to the Lord. For the next several weeks, I'm going to examine the Lord's Prayer, as I've been saying, verse by verse, and I'm calling that connecting with God. That's how we're going to connect with God, is going through this series. We're going to look at the different phrases in the Lord's Prayer, and each of those gives us some understanding of some of the greatest stresses that we experience in life. And if you understand the Lord's Prayer, and you don't just pray it or go through it and read it in rote, but if you live it, it will change you. Now, the first phrase in the Lord's Prayer is this, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I call that the prayer of connection. And we're looking at that today. How do you get connected to God? In other words, when you're in distress, how do you turn to the Lord? How do you get connected? I want us to look at the first two words in that phrase. Our Father. You see, until Jesus came to earth to let us know what God's like, nobody really knew that God was our Father. there was 1,000 years, you read in the Bible, 1,000 years covered in the Old Testament part of the Bible, people thought of God as all kinds of things. Creator, He's the Almighty One, He's the Deliverer, and many, many names of understanding who God was. But they didn't think of God as Father. Then Jesus comes along and says, this is how you need to know God. This is how you connect to God. You call God your Father. And Jesus uses that expression over 150 times in the New Testament referring to God. That God is our Father. Jesus is saying this, God is a person, not a power. God is a personal God. And He has the ability to have a relationship with us. And He created us for that. He created us with the ability to have a relationship with Him because that's what He wants. God is a person, not a power. He is a Father, not a force. And we can have a relationship with God as our Father. But there's only one big problem, and it is a big problem. For many people, the word Father is a negative term. For many people, the word Father brings up all kinds of bad memories and hurts, all kinds of difficulties and problems and experiences, deep father wounds. A lot of people who say, our Father in heaven, well, if God is like my Father, then I don't want any part of God. No thanks. The truth is, human fathers can be abusive, and they can be angry and self-centered. They can be vicious and violent. And so when we say our Father in heaven, a lot of times there are people who carry baggage in with that word. And the reason why many people never connect with God is because they unconsciously think God is like their earthly father. We transfer all of those mixed hurts and emotions onto God, and it's no wonder that there are people who have a hard time connecting with God. You know, in a book by Paul Vitz, a professor and psychologist at New York University, he wrote a book called The Faith of the Fatherless. And in it, he did a study of all the famous atheists throughout history. And he had collected 60 or 70 names of some of the most famous atheists. And the only thing that he could find that they had in common is that they all hated their dad. The dads were distant or dead or demanding or demeaning. They did not have a natural connection to their father. Sad. So what is God really like? What kind of father is God? Now the Bible says that there are four characteristics of the fatherhood of God. And what I'm going to try to do today is to help us understand what is God really like. So first of all, God is a caring father. He is a caring, loving, compassionate father. God loves you more than you will ever know. He loves you more than you will ever understand or comprehend how He could love you in some of the things that we do and the way we act and how we are. But God loves us in a way that we can't even comprehend. God is love, and He made you so He could love you. That's why you were created. And you wouldn't exist if God hadn't wanted to love you. He is loving toward you in everything. In 1 Peter it says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. God is a caring Father. One day when Jesus and His disciples, they were out on the lake in a boat, and Jesus had gotten tired and He went to sleep, and a storm came up. And suddenly the ship started rocking and rolling, and water began to flow over into the boat, and all the disciples were upset, and they were thinking that they were going to drown, and they frantically go to Jesus, wake Him up, and they asked Him one of the most important questions in life. Lord, look at what's happening to us. Don't you care? And you and I, we ask that 1,000 different ways of God all the time. God, don't you care? God, did you see the doctor's report? Don't you care? God, do you see the mess that my family is going through and the mess my family is in right now? Don't you care? God, don't you see how little money we have in the bank, and do you see this pile of bills that we have here? God, don't you care? The answer is yes. God cares in everything that we go through. I received a phone call Friday night, and the person on the line was crying. They began to tell me about a friend of theirs who had a drug problem. And that friend just recently had a car crash, and the other driver died. And she said she herself had gotten far away from God and didn't know what to do. Everything was hopeless in that voice that I heard on that other end of the line. And I told her God cares about her and God loves her. And we talked, and we cried, and we took comfort in the scripture. And God cares, and God's there. God knows what's going through, and God has a way out. And we prayed. And she turned back to the Lord, who was there all along, even though she felt that he had was 1,000 miles away. And he was there because he cared. And he's watching over her and us even when we don't know it. Yes, God cares. In fact, he cares more than you care about your situation. He wants to help more than you want help. He knows what will help you more than you know what will help you, because he cares. If you feel distance from God and you feel God is 1,000,000 miles away, it's because you don't understand how much God loves you and how much God cares for you. And you don't understand what kind of Father God is. God is not only a caring father, but here's number two. He is a consistent father. And that's really important, especially when everything's changing around us. God will never let you down. He can be counted on. He is dependable. He is reliable. In James, it says that every good and perfect gift is from the Father, and God does not change that position. That means everything in your life that's good, God gave it to you. Even the air that you're breathing right now, God has given that to you as a gift. You wouldn't even be alive if God wasn't breathing the breath of life into you as a gift right now. But we take that for granted. Everything in your life is good and perfect gift from God and the Father, and he does not change. He's a consistent Father. We know that the world is changing. In fact, the world is changing faster and more than ever before. There's only one thing that won't change: God and his care and his love for you. Cultures change, opinions change, technology changes, our circumstances changes, but God does not change. He's steady. And there's a third thing about God in this understanding: God the Father. He's a close Father. He's not distant. He's right here, now. And God is with us every moment. Here's what the Bible says about that in Acts. It says God did this, meaning all the things that God did this so that people would reach out for him and find him, since he is not far from each one of us. God is with you right now. Thank God for that. What a wonderful thing that would be, knowing that as we walk out of here today, we are not alone, but God is walking right beside of us. He's not a million miles away. It might feel that way sometimes, like He's a million miles away. I've felt that before. But your feelings and reality don't always match. And we know that's true. And the truth is, God is right here, right now. He's a close father. The first words that many babies learn to say is Dada, Dada. Abba is the word in Aramaic that Jesus used when He says we are to call God our Father. It means, Abba in Arabic means daddy, papa, Abba. And that's how personal God wants you to be with Him. God wants you to call Him daddy, Abba, Father. And here's the last thing I want to share with you. He's a competent father. And that's really important when you're facing big problems. God can handle any problem you give Him. Nothing is beyond His ability. There is nothing too big for God. In Luke it says, for nothing is impossible with God. And the Bible says it this way, God is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers and desires and thoughts and hopes. So let me ask you something very pointedly this morning as we close. What have you been doubting that God can handle in your life? What is it you think the problems you have or the stress you have or the things that are going on that seem impossible to change? What is it that you think that God can't change in your life? God can do anything because He is an able and competent Father. Now, is God everybody's father? No. No, He's not. God created everybody. God loves everybody, but He's not everybody's father. You've got to choose to make Him your father. God wants everybody in His family, but you're not in His family until you choose to let Him be. That's why God sent Jesus Christ. You see, God is holy, and we are sinful. And sin separated us from God. Sin put a wall up. It put a ravine across. It put an abyss between us and God. And we need a way to get back to God. We need a bridge to get across and connect to God again. And Jesus said, my cross is the bridge to bring you back to God. How do you connect to God again? How do you make God your father, daddy, Abba? We are children of God, the scripture says, through faith in Jesus Christ. We need Jesus. And we need the cross that bridges that gap. It's only through faith in Him and trust and belief that this is the way God has made it possible. It's not through religion. It's not trying to be good enough and clean up our act. It's not trying to become perfect. It's not saying that, Lord, I'll never sin again, because that's not true. We will. The only way we come to God and make Him our Father is through Jesus. The only way you are being and can become connected to God, to be a part of His family, for Him to become your Father, is for you to put your trust and faith in Jesus, His Son. And that's what I want us to do this morning. Would you pray with me? Brothers and sisters, Your Heavenly Father, unlike your earthly father, has never missed a moment of your life. He was a witness of every word, every hurt, every fear, every sin, every sorrow. And unlike your human father, he has understood your thoughts completely when you didn't even understand them yourself. Today you can turn to him and he will never leave you. Have you allowed the experiences with your human father to wrap your view of your heavenly father? To warp it and make it so that you can't see the real Father in heaven? Maybe you've not done that consciously, but unconsciously. So I'm going to beg you, trade your misconception for the truth about God, and the truth will set you free. So I want you to pray this prayer with me in your heart. Dear Father, Abba, Daddy, Papa, I want you to be my Heavenly Father, and I want to be your son or daughter. Thank you for sending Jesus to make that connection and to make it possible for me to be a part of your family. Give me Jesus right now. I want to believe in him and believe in you. And from this point on, I want to start putting my whole trust in you. That's why I come this morning. I want to give all of myself to you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being close even when I didn't know it. And for being able to handle all the problems that I'll face. So this morning, give me Jesus. I put my trust in you. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen.
Jesus, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. And when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me give me Jesus.